We've watched The Last of Us. Microsoft lays off 10,000 employees. Two big releases last week in gaming history, and we go over our games of the week. This is Very Average Gaming. Welcome, everybody, to episode 19 of Very Average Gaming. I'm Will Williams, and with me is Joe Cotter.
How you doing, everybody? How's it going, Will?
It's going all right, you know. How was your week off?
It was too short. I got to go back to work tomorrow, unfortunately.
Oh, okay. You know.
I got a lot done in the process, though.
You know, well, I'm like torn. Like this weekend, it's like it's a crazy weekend because football and The Last of Us are on again on Sunday.
Yes, huge game tomorrow, Giants and Eagles.
Yeah, we'll see. Hopefully, you know, I'm hoping for four upsets. That'd be nice to see, but, you know, we'll see. It'll be interesting. So speaking of Last of Us, what were your thoughts of this past week's episode?
Oh, my God. It did the book so much, or it did the video game so much justice.
Oh, I totally agree. I put it on. Right, because you know it's streaming, so it's not really like it used to be where you had to watch it like at 9 o'clock or whatever time. And I put it on, and I'm like, "Oh my god, this thing's an hour and a half long." And I'm like, "It's too late for me to do an hour and a half."
I guess I'm not getting any sleep tonight.
So I watched half of it on Sunday night, and then I watched the second half on Monday night. And man, oh man,
yeah, that first 20 minute sequence, Jesus.
Oh, it was awesome.
That was crazy.
You know, and it sticks to the story, like, to the T, so far.
They made some changes.
But very slight.
But I think it helped the show.
I think they did that
to help the show.
I mean, you can't, do a direct adaptation because, you know, TV is different than a video game.
Yeah, no, but I mean, I think the slight changes that they made were pretty cool.
Yeah. You know, I love how these people on Twitter and everything are like, first of all, if they complain because we don't have enough of these video game IPs out on TV and movies that stick to the story of the game that they've played. And now The Last of Us comes out and it's pretty much sticking to almost the exact story of the video game. And there are so many people complaining that it's too much like the video game that they've played.
And for all the naysayers that were complaining about Bella Ramsey, you know, not looking like the character, they can all just shut up because she did amazing in this episode.
Oh, she did a great job with
everybody in the everybody in this episode killed it. Everybody.
So I'm looking forward to episode 2 coming this Sunday, and we'll go from there. But
I'll end up having to watch it on Monday because of work. But
yeah, well, you know, that's what's the great thing about the streaming services. Like, you don't have to. Uh-huh. I remember watching The Sopranos back in the day, whereas if you missed it on that Sunday night, you had to wait for a rerun.
you had to wait for a rerun, or you had to wait till the next week because it usually played the last week's episode before the next week's episode.
Yep, exactly. You know, you had to wait that whole week, or, you know, hope that you stayed up till 2 a.m. when they replayed the episode on like a Wednesday.
Luckily, the internet wasn't as prevalent as it is now, to the point with like Facebook and social media and everything. You had less of a chance of worrying about spoilers.
That's true too. You know,
so, but yeah, this is the spoiler free version of us talking about the last.
Yeah, we're just gonna,
we're not,
you know,
we're not gonna go into any detail.
Oh yeah, no so detail. For any just of you that have not seen it, was. You know, so
yeah.
With that coming out, like now, it makes me very excited for all the new IPs that are supposed to be coming out with TV shows. Like I think what they have, Amazon's doing God of War, I believe.
Yeah, they're in talks to do God of War. Last year we had the Halo series come out. They have a Fallout series in the works right now. Like, it's insane.
You know, and I think was Horizon Zero Dawn is also coming out on Netflix.
Yeah, I don't know how that's going to do. I really didn't get into too much with the Horizon Zero Dawn, but
that is an awesome game.
I've heard great things about it. I've just never played it.
Yeah, you know. Well, you're more of an Xbox than a PlayStation guy anyway. And that's it's a PlayStation exclusive.
Listen, I would love to own an Xbox and or a PlayStation. Unfortunately, I'm don't got that money.
Yeah, and I hear you.
Plus, finding a PlayStation 5 right now is like finding a needle in a haystack. Although
yeah,
it's
I
getting
know.
Better.
There was one in the I saw one at the Walmart today.
The rare and elusive Walmart.
The God of War Ragnarok edition. It was just sitting there, just one, chilling in the Xbox case.
Especially the electronics department in the Walmart closest to my house is so craptacular.
Oh, is
90%,
it?
90% of the time, the only reason I go in it is to buy canned air.
There you go. Well, aren't they? Isn't the Borderlands movie supposed to come out this week? Or not this week, this year?
They haven't officially given it a release date.
Okay.
It's in post-production, and pretty much as of the other day was the first news we've gotten on that movie in about a year.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah. And pretty much the news is that they have 2 weeks of reshoots to do. The director for the movie, Eli Roth, actually cannot do the reshoots. Because he's doing another film. He's got another project in the work. He's filming a movie called Thanksgiving. It's supposed to be a horror movie. So the director for Terminator Dark Fate, Tim Miller, he's actually stepping in to do about the 2 weeks or so of reshoots.
Oh, okay. So then hopefully we'll get somewhat of a release date or window after that's done.
Yeah, the girl that's playing Tiny Tina, Ariana Greenblatt, or I hope I said that right. She mentioned about 2 days ago that they were starting the reshoots up. So they're looks like they're in the process of the reshoots as we speak.
Okay, great. You know, I can't wait for that to come out too. Hopefully that lives up to the hype of the games.
And to comment on what you said earlier about the people complaining about it not being close enough or too close kind of deal, they already stated that there are going to be differences to the lore of the games to the movie. They already stated that they're going to have the movie verse and the game verse. It's going to be two separate things.
Oh, okay.
With similarities.
Oh, okay. All right. But at least they're being upfront about it.
So kind of think of it as like alternate timelines.
Yeah, exactly. That's, you know, but you know, at least you're announcing it. You're letting the fans know so that the fan service is still there and the fan base doesn't get riled up.
Well, that's why I'm finally glad they came out with something, because I mean, they literally have not talked about the movie since it went into post-production almost a year ago.
Yeah.
I've searched for release dates and stuff multiple times and there was just nothing out there. And then out of the blue, they were talking about the reshoots. So
yeah,
hopefully we get a release date soon.
Yeah, definitely. And then, you know, then we got like what? Three months till the Mario movie, which
yes.
I can't wait.
Oh my God. It looks so good.
I can't wait till they release the next trailer. But supposedly there was for advertisements of like bus advertisements of Bowser and some Mario movie toys are all of a sudden appearing in the wild, like a fire-breathing Bowser was found, and some pretty cool other stuff too. So it's going to get the hype. I can't wait. I can't wait to see how that movie does. Oh man, that's the movie I think I'm looking forward to most this year.
Yeah, I think that if that movie does as well as I'm thinking I'm doing, it's probably going to be the movie this year that probably, as far as like revenue, makes the most.
Yeah.
Like I would not be surprised if this movie, you know, passes a billion in it, you know, or, you know, in its first couple weeks.
Like Avatar.
I think if this movie is as popular as I think it's going to be, because it's got, you know, the old school gamers go see it.
Yeah.
You know, kids are going to want to go see it. You know, both your kids are huge Mario fans. Everybody's going to want to see these movies.
That's true.
So, I mean, I see this movie doing really well. I'm just hope it looks as good as the trailer makes it look.
Yeah, no, definitely. You know, so, well, we'll see. But now that our intro is over, I think we're going to go on to some news. So it's time for the news.
On today's episode of the news.
There's only two real big stories this week. I mean, the first one is, I think it's a big story not only in gaming, but like in the broad spectrum of business, where Microsoft is set to lay off 10,000 employees. And that's just crazy to think that they're pretty much getting rid of 10,000 employees.
Well, the best part is they're releasing the 10,000 employees within the next fiscal year.
Yeah.
To make room for the fact that they bought, or they're buying Activision Blizzard.
Well, yeah, you know, but it's the climate we're in, unfortunately. Like, you know, inflation's high and the consumer product buying is low. So
yeah.
You know, it's unfortunately you get the squeeze, and you know, you got to cut the fat somewhere, and it's unfortunate.
People just don't have the money for stuff anymore.
That's
just
what it is, and you
like
know,
even going to the grocery store in places now. Like you used to, you know, go into a grocery store on a Saturday and not be able to move. Now, you know, half the day it's dead.
Yeah, you know, and like where this really, I think it's pretty much over 10,000 employees through Microsoft. This over all sectors of the company. Yeah. It's not just the gaming, like the gaming section. And
no, this affects all facets.
But the biggest hit in the gaming sector of Microsoft was 343.
Mm-hmm.
And they lost 60 employees. And a lot of them are like now coming out and saying that Microsoft pretty much set them up for failure with how Halo Infinite kind of came out, and like what, you know, the, like what they were given, the tools they were given, and like how to make this thing and work.
They were supposed to have an update come out, and now they don't know if they're going to be able to pass or get the update out because they don't have the bodies anymore.
Microsoft. That's like the one IP in your whole catalog that you should have to be 100% on board making wonderful.
With Gears of War pretty much going in the crapper.
Yeah.
I mean, pretty much.
Well, Halo's there now too.
Well, no, but I'm saying like with Halo 5 not doing as good as everybody was hoping it would do.
Yeah.
Or I'm sorry, Gears of War 5.
Oh yeah.
Not doing so that, you know, with them going into crapper, I mean, their only flagship left was Halo.
Yeah, for the most part.
I mean, think of it, that was their big IP, and well, I mean, it took 6 years to make, and it's been almost an absolute failure.
Oh, it's been, I mean, no, the first month was phenomenal. It had great numbers the first month, but then there was nothing added to the game after that.
Yeah, they have their pro circuit and stuff, and they're leaving to go to like Apex Legends and stuff.
Yeah, oh yeah, definitely.
It's just a shambles.
It's horrible, and they're not supporting it. And nope. I think it's to the point now where, you know, they took the lead guy of Halo Infinite and they moved him on to other projects.
Well, they moved him back. Yeah, they moved him back over to where he was. I don't know what studio it was.
You know, and I think it just shows the writing on the wall because, like, you know,
Obsidian, I think it was Obsidian or something.
Yeah, well, I don't know exactly where he went, but like the writing on the wall with 343 and these Halo games, like Bonnie left. Now you know they're moving this guy over, and you know they're laying off 60 people. I think that it's on point to just say we're gonna scrap Halo Infinite. They only promised that they're gonna keep the online servers pretty much running. Like there's no promise now that there's gonna be a DLC for a campaign. There's no promise for anything else. So it's like I think they're getting ready to just scrap this and try to rework on a new title for
Halo. That sounds about right. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, they were supposed to have a map editor and all kind of crazy stuff come out.
Oh, yeah, and none of that's going to happen. And now, you know, so now it's like, you know, which is, I think they kind of knew that their home base series aren't that great. So, which is why these, over the past 2 years, they just went out and they started buying up these publishers.
Yeah.
You know?
But to be fair, they're not the biggest dumpster fire right now going into gaming. I mean, we also have Ubisoft.
Oh man,
this is about as bad as it gets.
If last week Ubisoft, when we discussed it, was a dumpster fire, this week they just poured gasoline onto the fire.
Maybe some jet fuel.
Right. So, Ubisoft Paris employees went on strike. Or they're set to strike. They didn't go on strike yet, but they're planning on it. Following comments by the firm's CEO. Now, pretty much what he just blamed them for the reason why they're doing so poorly.
Yeah, pretty much all the firm's hardships and delays and everything has basically been set on the employees.
You know, it has nothing to do with the fact that, you know.
He basically had a meeting with all of them and told them all they saw.
Yeah,
That's pretty much what he did.
Yeah, for the most part. But he did follow that up by, you know, he did follow it up by saying that they're planning to release all 12 games that they have in production this year. Which,
we'll see how that goes.
Which makes me either really excited, because if these happen to be 12 really good games, it's going to be a great year for gaming. Because when they do hit with the game, it's awesome.
Yeah, it's getting them to hit.
Or this is going to be 12 rushed shovelware type games that are labeled with Assassin's Creed and their big IP title names.
Uh-huh.
You know?
With a ton of freaking transactions and all that kind of stuff, just a money grab.
Yeah. You know, and you know, I know they were planning on releasing Assassin's Creed Mirage this year.
Mysterious.
Which is supposed to be, it looks pretty good, but I mean, Assassin's Creed, I guess, is the only series in their catalog that, like, they actually make sure that the game is good. Far Cry's been pretty good, but they've been, you know, if you're into that kind of game, I like those games, but they're not for everybody.
I remember, what was the one you were really big into? Three?
Three was great. Four was a lot of fun, too. Five kind of fell off, but six brought it back. Six is good.
What was the one where you start and you're in the bus, you pass out, and you wake up and you're hanging off a cliff?
And that's, I believe that's three.
Yeah, I know that's the one you were really big into.
That's when Far Cry really started, like, taking off.
Mm-hmm.
And then 4 was a lot of fun. 4 was pretty cool. And then 5 with the whole religious cult thing.
Which one is the one that had the bad guy from Breaking Bad?
Oh.
Is that 4 or 5?
I think that's 5.
5, yeah.
The religious cult guy. I don't know. I didn't see Breaking Bad, so I don't know.
The main villain is played by the guy from Breaking Bad. I can't think of him up.
Oh. Yeah, no, I haven't watched Breaking Bad, so I can't. I have no response.
Great show. Oh, my God.
Well, yeah, but the problem is there's so many seasons that I got to, like, find a big chunk. It's like a summer show.
It's 5.
Yeah.
5 seasons.
And how many episodes per season?
Mm-hmm.
Like 10? That's 50 hours. Right? 50 hours times what? Times 5? Mm-hmm. 250 hours. I gotta. That's a summer show. It's a summer show.
So take an hour away from your Steam Deck.
Yeah. Very funny. Very, very funny.
You can probably watch it on your Steam Deck.
So I'm really looking forward to seeing the next 2 weeks of news from Ubisoft and seeing if the strike actually happens.
I mean, they have a... I didn't read the full list of demands. The only one that I can remember off the top of my head was that they're looking for 4-day work week.
Yeah, well, you know. I mean, after busting your butt for, like, how many years and then him telling you, you know what, you guys suck, I would demand a 4-day work week, too.
Yeah, there's other things that they're demanding. I think pay increase and stuff like that. So, I mean, hopefully they can make this year work. But, I mean, if this is the start of anything that's going to happen, it's not looking very good.
No. This is going to be, they're going to be in the news cycle for like the next month, and it's either going to be really good or it's going to be really bad. If they go on strike, there's no way they're releasing 12 games this year. There's just no way.
No.
And my question is out of those 12, is Skull and Bones going to actually be one of them?
No. I think that game's in the can. I don't think that game's coming.
You think they just keep stringing everyone along and then they're going to just say, you know what, we decided they're going to cancel this guy.
Honestly, at this point, I don't really think anybody cares about Skull and Bones.
That's true,
I mean, this
too.
They've delayed it, what, six times?
Six times.
At this point, all the hype for that game is gone.
Yeah, that's true. You know, well, what are you going to do? You know, but... So that's it with the news, right? So now we go on to this week in gaming history.
What fun facts do you have for us
today,
Will?
This week, the only two things that I could find that were worth mentioning in gaming history were two huge releases that came out. One, Mass Effect 2 came out on January 17th, 12 years ago in 2010.
One of the greatest gaming series ever.
I'm sorry, it's not 2022, it's 2023. And it's arguably, yeah, it's one of the greatest story-driven games ever. It's definitely in most people's top 10 games of all time.
Yeah.
It's such a great game. If you haven't played it, the Legendary Edition right now is on sale for $14.99 at GameStop for PS4, PS5, and Xbox. And it's also the same price on PC for Steam. So it's definitely worth getting. Like, if you've never played Mass Effect, only because it comes with all three in the trilogy, two being the best. But it comes with the whole trilogy, and the story to play through the trilogy is definitely worth a playthrough. And it's over 100 plus hours of gameplay for $14.99.
Yeah. For anybody that's never played the Mass Effect series, it's 100% worth the playthrough. It's amazing.
Well, I think
just for the story alone is crazy.
Yo, yeah, definitely. And like what made Mass Effect so great is it was like the first game in which the decisions you made within the game affected the story moving forward. Mm-hmm. And it's pretty cool because the way the trilogy works is the story that you continue or end with in the one, you know, the first one going into the second and the second going into the third could be totally different depending on how you end the games.
Yeah, it's a story-driven action RPG.
Yeah, but where the story carries over through three games. So it's like, you know, so if you kill off X, Y, or Z, your story will be different when you start three as opposed to if you killed A, B, or C. You know, like it was like really in-depth. BioWare put a lot of time and work into that, and it paid off like tenfold. It's definitely in my top five probably story games of all time. You know, I put it up there with God of War Ragnarok and The Last of Us in terms of the way the story unfolded. And, you know, for right now, that's definitely worth a go, especially if you haven't played any of the Mass Effect games.
Oh, 100%.
You know, the other big release that came out this week in his gaming history was on January 21st, 25 years ago, Resident Evil 2 was released.
Another all-timer right there.
Oh, yeah. And this was the game that put Resident Evil right on the map. Like, the first one was great, but 2 was the big one because 1 had all the hype, and everyone was like, oh, and then when 2 came out, it exploded.
Yeah, well, not only that, but, like, you know, the gameplay for its time was really good. Now it's kind of clunky.
Well, of course, but
the gameplay, but, I mean, like, there were so many little secrets and idiosyncrasies in that game to find and unlock. You know, different things you can do through each playthrough, and it was really cool.
And what I liked about it was like every time you went into the room, even though, I mean, when you play it like now, like if you played it 3 or 4 times, it happens the same way every time. But I'll never forget the first time I went into the one interrogation room, and you go through it to go find something, and then you come back through it on the way back, and all of a sudden, like, something bursts through the glass window. Like, yeah. It had that, like, those jump scares where, like, you would go into a room, whereas, like, most of the older horror games, if you went into the room, the jump scare was there already. This one, it was like, you didn't know if it was coming or going, and it was just creepy. And now, to show my age a little bit, right, so when this game came out, I was in, I want to say, 7th or 8th grade. And I walked about 3 miles.
That's it?
That's it. Okay, to a KB toy store. To show you how, I mean, KB, yeah, KB, all right? KB hasn't been around in, I don't know, how long.
That's in North Jersey?
They were, yeah. Why? Why does that surprise you?
Well, you hadn't moved yet.
I walked from my mom's house, I walked to the, to like where, not the Walmart, yeah, where, like, the Walmart and stuff was, Home Depot.
That's not three, That's not 3 miles.
No, the next one, the next shopping center.
Okay. Okay, that's about that. Okay, that's a little farther.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and I remember going to KB Toys, and I purchased the game on release day. They didn't, I mean, it was a mature game. They didn't card me. I was like 13. Okay, 13, 14. My first playthrough gave me the biggest jump scare, one of the biggest jump scares of my gaming life. Like, oh my God.
It was probably a liquor jumped out at you.
Yeah, and I remember from that point on, I just kept the lights on while playing. I was going to be one of those guys that was going to get through the game with, like, the lights off. And it scared the crap out of me. And then the next thing you know, I'm like, put the lights on. I'm not doing this. We're going to put the lights on.
I was going to say, I know you didn't go to a Kate. I know you didn't want Hamilton. The only KB at the time in Hamilton was in what? Quaker Bridge Mall?
I believe so. You know. So we had that. And then, they finally remade it. They have the remake out now. So,
yeah.
You know. I mean, at least they waited a long time for the remake.
I wonder if they updated the controls to match.
Oh, no, the controls are, it plays so much better. Much better.
The way the controls were back in the day was you had to point your character in the direction you wanted them to walk, and then hit walk.
That's why I'm so pumped that they're remaking Resident Evil 4.
That's why I was so mad about Parasite Eve 2, because when Parasite Eve 2 came out, it was those exact same controls.
Oh, yeah. You know, no. I'm waiting.
They're so clunky.
You know, they remade Resident Evil 2, the remake. They remade Resident Evil 3, and now 4. And 4 is, like, out of all my Resident Evil, it's in my top 3 Resident Evils. It's probably number 2. I think Resident Evil 7 was my favorite. And then Village is probably my 3rd best. And then 4 is right there at number 2. And then number 2, and then going down the list. 5 stinks, 6 is garbage.
3 is okay.
3 is good. 3 is pretty good, too.
3 is good, but you only play 3 to hear Nemesis.
Yeah, well.
There's a couple big jump scares in 3, though, too.
Yeah. Well, that's because back then you needed to, because you couldn't have the atmosphere. Like, you know, it was unfortunate, but you just couldn't. So pretty much those are the only 2 big releases coming, like, you know, the big things in gaming history. Nothing big, no consoles came out, no people were hired or fired. And then that's pretty much it, you know? And then, so with this week, what did you end up playing this whole week, Joe?
I had a few games I played. I was mainly...
We'll save the game of the week for, like, when we're doing, you know, after we're done with this, because we'll go into that into a lot more detail than everything else we've played.
Yeah, so I was playing a little bit of Slitheroe. For anybody who doesn't know what that is, it's basically like this game where you're kind of play as a giant worm, and you have to collect, like, little pellets and stuff that are around the level. Think of, like, old school Snake, but, like, updated version of it. But you're going against other players, and the whole objective is to kill as many of the other snakes as you can and get as big as you can.
How many players are on there with you? Like, is it like 1 versus 3?
No, it's more like I think when you load into a server, like, it'll show your count of how many people are in the map with you.
Okay.
Like, and I've seen it of upwards of 300.
Oh, that's great. How big is the map?
Fairly large. It's a giant circle.
Okay.
And, like, if you look at the map, there's like a cross section, and, like, most... Basically, you can go all the way to the outskirt, but if you hit the outskirt of the map, it kills you and sends you back.
Oh, okay.
Pretty much most people kind of stay more toward the middle area.
That makes sense.
And basically, you know, the whole purpose of the game is to kill as many snakes as you can and get as big as you can. And they have a top 10 leaderboard and stuff like that.
Have you ever won a match?
No.
No?
I mean, there's no really winning. I mean, it just keeps going until, you know. Until
there's one left.
No, you just keep going. You die and then respawn, and you go right back in.
Oh, but you're small again.
Yeah, I mean, basically, you go for high score. That's basically all you're doing.
Oh,
and just to test yourself to see how big you can get.
Oh, okay.
I think the biggest I've ever gotten was like 5,000. I've seen people upwards of 60,000.
So let me get this straight. It's like the game like we used to play on our old cell phone, Snake.
Sort of, kind of.
Okay. So
I'm
now,
using that as an example.
If someone hits, like, let's say your tail, that doesn't kill you, right? It's you running into them.
Yes. They have to hit your head to kill you. Like, you have to run into something, or they have to cut you off and and your head has to run into them.
Gotcha. Oh, okay, okay, okay. And if they hit you, obviously, not your head, then they die.
Yes.
Oh, okay. And then, so what else have you played?
A couple mobile games. I played some Hill Climb Racing.
Too. Okay, you're big on that, right?
I sit mainly because, you know, I get bored and I'm just, you know, not all on the Xbox, or I want to sit outside and just do something else or whatever. All right.
I've been playing it for like 10 years, Hill Climb Racing 2.
I've been playing the series for about 10 years.
Oh, okay.
I've also been playing...
I can see the...
I really don't want to talk about it, but Overwatch 2. I've kind of given up.
You've given up on it finally?
Yeah, I kind of had a stretch earlier. I mean, the matches are... Like, even if you do well, it's so frustrating, because even if you do well individually, if the team is not good, there's not good team composition, someone doesn't want to play a support or a tank, or...
I get you.
You know, like I was playing in one match, and I picked DPS, so another guy picks DPS, and then... Two other people pick a DPS, and then one picks a support. You're not winning without a tank.
Happening. Let's be honest. I mean, if you were Scump, you might be able to win without the tank.
Oh, come on, man. Why we got to talk about Scump?
Why? What happened?
Oh, man.
I don't really follow the esports, so I just know he's a big name.
For anyone that follows the content scene and the competitive Call of Duty scene, Seth Scump Abner, legendary Call of Duty player, has been playing for 12 plus years, has finally decided to step down and retire after a 12-year story career with 30 titles. And, you know, he's such an impact on the community, whether you know him or not. I mean, he's pretty much helped the gaming scene for Twitch and everything grow. I mean, he's probably one of the biggest reasons why everything gaming-wise is as big as it is now. So, you know, he finally decided to step down from pro competition, and, you know, congratulations on the awesome career. And he said he's got plenty of content coming forward, and so we'll see where he goes from that. I know he live streamed the matches and stuff today, and his following was triple the Call of Duty League's followers, watcher views on Twitch today. So it was kind of funny.
That's crazy. But now, you know, that just stinks, because now I gotta find somebody that's into pro gaming, because he was the only name I knew. And I didn't even know he really played. I just knew his name was Scump. So, like, when I would talk to people about, oh, yeah, Scump. Scump. I could name drop Scump. But now I gotta find someone else to name drop.
So what have you been playing?
Me?
Yeah.
This has been the other than you know, like what we decided we're gonna play last week. My weekly games this week have been all roguelites. I seem to be liking them a lot lately, and I've been playing a ton of them. So this week I played a bunch of Undermine, I'll go into it a little bit. Vampire Survivors again, because that's just my bread and butter. And I'm trying to beat the game. That's why. And Rogue Legacy 2. And if anyone who's never played Undermine is this game on Steam. It might be available on the Xbox too, I'm not sure. And you pretty much, it's a roguelite. So basically, it's usually generated levels every time you go into this mine. And you got to kill the things, collect your gold. And then every time you die, you come back up and spend the gold to make yourself stronger. To get further into the game. And that's pretty much what a roguelite it consists of. Mm-hmm. So... I finally beat the first boss, so I'm really excited. So now I get to go into the gold mine. Now I get to go into the dungeon. And then my biggest accomplishment was being able to save two keys when I got to the dungeon in order to free the shopkeeper to bring him back up with me.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah, so now, you know, I'm focusing on trying to level up a little bit to get... You got to get used to the way the enemies attack, so you know how to, like, dodge them and stuff, and... I'm trying to build up my satchel so that this way, every time I die, I lose less and less gold. Because when you die in the mine, you obviously lose part of the gold you're carrying, and that you just lose it. So that's what I'm focusing on now, because my attack's pretty good. It's just I'm not getting enough bringing back up to like level up anymore. Vampire Survivors, I mean, I think I've talked about this till I've been blue in the face. I think I bring it up every week. If you haven't tried Vampire Survivors like Joe over here, it is a must play. It is a highly recommended game for anybody who is quote unquote an average gamer, because it is a pick up and play game for 15 to 20 to 30 minutes at a clip. And every time I play it, I learn something new about it and figure out something new with the weapons and stuff.
I was going to say, didn't you finally figure out how to, you know, use the upgrades or something?
Well, what it is like certain upgrades, like they pair. So like there's like 12 upgrades. And as you unlock characters, new abilities become available. Right, because their starting abilities are different. So, like, basically, for like, other than Garlic, which is like what you the biggest crutch when you start to play, Garlic is the way to go because it's an easy way to kill waves of guys. But as you get further along, you realize that if you level up two power ups, they're each power up is like partnered with another one, and if you level them all both up to max, one of them turns into like a superpower.
Wow!
You know, like the one is like the whip. If you load up the whip all the way and you load up the heart container up all the way, you get this like super whip that like doesn't stop. It just keeps flinging back and forth. And every time it kills somebody, you get HP back.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. You know, there's one like the magic missile. When you get that to the power up, it just doesn't stop shooting. There's no delay. It just constantly shoots. So like if you have that with like, let's say 5 or 6 extra projectiles, you're shooting like 7 or 8 magic missiles at a clip.
God, that sounds okay.
Yeah, so you know, so you kind of learn the little niche like ways to like level up your character, which ones you want. Because if you're good and you get far enough, you can pair 4 and 4 and you get 4 of these mega attacks on the same level. You know, if the game runs right, because obviously with it being a roguelite in a sense that
basically you can kill a ton of vampires with it.
Oh, well, yeah, you kill like zombies, tree men, all these different types of these bad guys. I mean, they all look the same. They're pixelated, but, you know, they all. And what's pretty cool is like, you know, there'll be guys, you'll see them on the map and they're like outlined in blue. And if you kill them, you get a treasure chest. And the treasure chest gives you gold and it helps level up one of your abilities.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah, so, you know, but it's such a great game because it's so easy to just put down and pick up and play, and I don't know. I'm going to definitely, once I finally beat the final stage and unlock everything, I'm going to do a final, like, a full review on it. But
so, have you played any more Elden Ring?
No, this week was not a week of Elden Ring. The 18-month-old has been teething, so it's been one of those weeks where I feel I don't want to go down there with my headphones or my earbuds in and not be able to hear her crying if she needs to be held. Uh-huh. So it was more of a Steam Deck kind of week. And when it's Steam Deck, it's pretty much roguelites.
Yeah, she's going to be pretty cranky until that's all done.
Well, yeah, you know, it started last week and the teeth broke through. So now, like, now it's just a matter of, you know, if she kind of wakes up a little bit, she feels it, she'll start screaming. So, you know, hopefully it's good. But then the last game was Rogue Legacy 2. And another game I can't recommend enough if you like platformers. What's cool about this one is that every time you play as a character, so I don't know if you ever played Rogue Legacy. Have you played Rogue Legacy?
I have not, but I have heard of it.
Okay. So basically, like, it's like you take over this family, and every time you die, you take on the next generation of the family.
Okay.
But what's cool is like there's a whole bunch of different classes that you get to unlock, but they all have these different abilities and traits. Like, so like, this time when you get to pick from 3 of them, and like it might be colorblind, so the whole game is in black and white, or, you know, one of them like has excessive gas, so as you're playing he farts like crazy. You know, and there's like different funny things like that. Like, some of them are like,
what's your superpower? Flatulence.
Yeah, like one of them is like, one of the newer ones is something with rainbows, and anytime you jump a rainbow follows you, but it doesn't disappear. So if you jump too much on the screen, you can't see unless you leave the room and come back. Then it's cleared. You know, and it's just a lot of fun stuff like that, but it's just like any roguelite. You go through the level, you collect your gold. At the end, you level up your character, and then you go back in and you know, same concept.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah, but it's so much fun. It's backdoor games. It's so well done.
Or so you'd be playing games. More. So you basically would be playing... You're basically going to be playing more of that.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. I beat Rogue Legacy 1. I loved Rogue Legacy 1. I got into it late because I got it on the Switch. So, like, it was on PC early access and all that. Rogue Legacy 2 is still in early access, I believe, but it's out on the Switch, and I got it on Steam. But I've been, I like playing that a lot too. And that's pretty much those are the three big games that I've been playing this week, other than my game of the week from last week.
Nice. Well, since we're talking about game of the week, procedurally generated, my game of the week was Descenders.
And you said you had a good time with this game. Like, you were surprised.
I mean, it's frustrating at times, but I mean, for the most part, I mean, I actually had a pretty good time with the game.
Okay.
You know, it's fun. It's fast paced. You know, the difficulty curve feels like it comes quick, but you have plenty of time to learn.
Okay.
Because they give you like an open area to learn the controls for how to bunny hop and do all that kind of crazy stuff.
Okay.
But I mean, it's awesome. You're going down these trails. I mean, and then like what's cool is like you can look because all the maps are procedurally generated.
Yeah.
So like when you load into like every time, so like you start in what's called the Highlands, and it's basically a map, and then it has like all the track, you know, like the little circles that are on the track. It's different tracks you can try on there. And like when you go to pick a track, it'll tell you lots of stunts, steepness, or you know other like the stats of the track.
Okay.
So like if you don't want a really fast track and you're having a hard time, you could pick a more mellow track. Or if you want a track that has a lot of stunts, you want to do a lot of flips and 360s and crazy stuff, you can pick a track like that.
Oh, okay, nice.
Yeah, no, it's really a fun game, and what's nice about it is, you know, if you only have like a half hour to put in, you know, you can play, get your rep or your score basically in the game is called rep.
Okay.
And then you can, you know, play, leave the game, come back and you didn't lose any of your score. It stays with you.
Well, that's good.
So that's pretty cool. And then like as you're going on the different tracks and stuff like that, like you'll get sponsor nodes. Like you can actually play. And like if you complete different tasks for sponsors, like you can get picked up from certain sponsors, and each one has different things. Like you have one is just like basically like you like doing a lot of flips and crazy stuff, and so you go for that. Or if you like doing fast, crazy downhill, you know, stunts and stuff like that, you go for that one. And then they have another one that's just like you like open, you know, there's no trail, but you just like flying down the course and doing a whole bunch of crazy stuff, you know. You can go for that one as well.
Oh, okay. But you
and then there,
oh, go ahead.
I was gonna say, and there's like there's unlockables, goggles, helmets, jerseys, all kind of stuff.
Oh, all that stuff to make your character look pretty cool, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, the graphics. I mean, honestly, the graphics and the feeling, like it's like weird the way that they do how fast you're going and stuff like that. Like it actually can get pretty intense.
Okay, that's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to continue to play this then, I would assume.
I might keep playing it. I actually enjoyed playing it.
All right.
You know, if you're into that kind of...
I might give it a try. Like, from talking to you about it, like, I think it might be a game, like, I like it because it's like a downhill racing roguelite. And
yeah, but, you know, with some Tony Hawk's Pro Skater kind of like... Blair throw into it, like with the vert ramps and jumps and stuff like that, like the one boss jump that they make you do, like literally you jump over a train on a bridge, like it's pretty awesome.
That's cool. Yeah. So that, and that's on the Game Pass, right? You played it on the Xbox.
That's all. Yeah, you can play it on the Xbox Game Pass or
on PC.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. Yeah. So my game of the week this past week was Moon Glow Bay. And in Moon Glow Bay, I've played about 5 hours so far. And I really like this game.
Yeah, did you get your extra hour in today?
I got my extra hour in today. I wanted to make sure I got a full five before I made a report on this. It's a very relaxing fishing simulator. So relaxing because it's extremely easy to catch.
Basically, that's good.
Yeah, the gist of the game is pretty much like there's a town called Moon Glow Bay. And over the last 3 years, it's fallen apart because of a curse, so to speak, that has fallen over the bay. And this was a fishing town, and now no one is out fishing. So basically, your character starts, after 3 years, you start back up your fishing business to help rebuild the town. And, I mean, the bulk of the game is extremely simple fishing. Like, it's literally, you hit the button, you could choose, like, you could pick, like, a lure, what pole you want to use, and what, if you want to use bait. And you hit the button, and he, if you hold it long, he casts far. If you tap it, he casts short. And when the fish gets on the hook, you hit the trigger to hook the fish. And then you kind of, like, if the fish goes to the left, you pull the pole to the right. If the fish goes to the right, you pull the pole to the left. And eventually the fish comes in, and you catch him.
Oh, okay. So it's not as easy as Minecraft fishing, but it's fairly easy.
Yeah, it's fairly easy. It's not like just tapping the button and the next thing you know, the fish is in the boat. But it's, you know. And then the other half of the gameplay model pretty much is basically a cooking sim. And it's little, like, mini game tasks where you go in your kitchen, you have all these fish you catch, you keep as many as you want, and you go into the refrigerator, and then it's like, get the fish out of the fridge. You go to the fridge, you hit the button, you get the fish. Clean the fish. You go to the sink, and then it's like a little mini game where you have to, like, keep the bar inside the blue line, and it moves left and right. Like, little simple, like, Mario Party type mini game things. Real simple, real easy.
Oh, like a Wario. What
WarioWare. That's a good way to put it.
WarioWare. Yeah, yeah, okay.
All right, and they're real simple, but it's like they're hard enough that if you get a little too lax on it, then you won't hit it perfectly. Like, now I got the timing down pretty good now, but if I'm just, like, not paying attention 100%, like, I won't get green. And basically what it is based on how well you do on these little mini games, cooking your fish to make the different recipes that you collect as you play, determines if it's a 1, 2, or 3-star meal. And then you can get more money when you sell it.
So the game basically stops you from being complacent.
Yeah, for the most part, right? So basically the game is like you do these two things and you complete tasks for the town folks. So, like, they'll ask you to cook meals, like special meals for them. And, like, or, like, they'll ask you to catch them certain fish. And as you do this, you get more and more money to help rebuild the town. The whole point of the game is to rebuild the town back to what it was 3 years ago. And, you know, it's like Animal Crossing and stuff where, like, there's an aquarium. So every time you catch a new species of fish, it's recommended you drop it off at the aquarium.
And, oh, okay, that's cool.
Yeah, and it's very relaxing. There's no, like, there's no survival mechanic. So, like, if you want to stay up every night, all night, and just fish, you could do that. Like, he doesn't need sleep. He doesn't need to eat. Right? The only time it saves the game if you don't do it manually is if you go to sleep in your bed. And the only reason you would do that is to progress time. So, like, if you wanted to get to the next morning because stores would be open, you could do that. But other than that, I would recommend saving a lot because I've already on numerous occasions accidentally, like, turned the game off. And when I went to go back, like, it started over without a save. I lost 20, 30 minutes. Yeah.
So basically the game is relaxing, but it has some depth to it.
Yeah, it's a good story, and I'm gonna play it through to see what the story is. They say online that it goes between like 12 to 15 hours. I'm 5 hours in, so I might as well finish it through just the story. I'm not gonna complete it, but I will finish the story.
Yeah, Descenders, I think I probably have about, I would say probably 15.
How many hours?
15 to 20, I'd say.
Oh, wow, you played a lot of that.
Yeah, pretty decent amount. Yeah, no, I'll play it like 2 hours at a clip.
Yeah. You know, the soundtrack is also relaxing. It's very nice and calm. I've fallen asleep playing this twice. So to put that into perspective, okay, I've fallen asleep playing it. But I would recommend it if you're into story-driven games.
I can see that happening because Minecraft has done the same thing.
But Minecraft has that the same kind of, like, lulling soundtrack.
Yeah, which is funny because Descenders, the music is completely different. Like, it's like upbeat, like house music, trance music.
Okay.
So it kind of fits the theme of the game really well. It's that heart pounding, you know, downhill, especially like on some of the tracks that are really steep.
Yeah.
Like you get going pretty fast. So it's like, oh my God, I'm going to make this turn. And like you start doing the whole, you know, get into the gaming stance, leaning forward. You're like, oh man, I can't, you know, and I hope you don't crash.
Yeah, no, I hear you. I get you.
So yeah, it was definitely fun though.
I like that. This is a game I probably wouldn't have played. I'm into these types of games too, but it would never been on my radar had I been looking for a game that I needed to play.
No, and that's the great thing about me and you doing this is me and you are starting to play a lot of games that are outside our comfort zone or outside our radar.
Yeah.
To kind of, you know, tell people, you know, games that they're out there that they may be missing that they didn't know about.
That's true. And with that, so what are you planning on doing for your game of the week this week? Like the game you're going to play on off of the Game Pass or whatever?
So my game for the next going forward, we are going to be playing Beacon Pines.
Ooh, that sounds zing.
Yeah, I mean, pretty much it's an adventure basically set in a book.
Okay.
And, you know, you have to uncover the truth of something strange happening in an old warehouse. Hmm. You play as a character called Luca and, you know, his friends. And you have to try and sneak out and, you know, make new friends and try to figure out what's going on in the world.
Oh, okay. So it's going to be, I guess, like a story adventure type of game.
Yeah.
Not fighting or anything, but like just adventure.
Yeah. And from what I saw from downloading, it is for ages 13 and up. So, I mean, you know, some younger people can play it.
Okay.
So, I mean, there's that. So, I mean, it does look like you know, a little more cartoony compared to like some of the other games and stuff.
Look at you branching out. Look at you. You don't really play anything like that ever.
I told you that was the whole point of doing this. So
yeah. This week I'm going to play this game called Monster Train. Now I've heard of Monster Train. I've heard it mentioned,
but I've never known what it was about.
So I'm going to just read the description from the Game Pass website. I just figured that'd be easy, right? Okay, here we go. Ready? Hell is frozen over. Only you can protect the final burning pyre from the forces of heaven and restore the inferno. Monster Train brings a new strategic layer of roguelike deck building with three vertical playing fields to defend. Includes the released updates, Wild Mutations, and Friends and Foes. So, for the most part, it's a deck building game. I've played a couple of these. They're not my favorite, but I've heard really good things. And I was like, you know, I pick a game and then I look at the reviews on Steam, especially if it's for PC. And it seems to have very overwhelmingly good reviews. So I'm willing to give it a shot and see if it's, so, you know, something I can get into. You know, we'll see. We'll see how this goes. You know, I'll see if I can put five hours into this.
Yeah, I mean, I would just give it a try. If it's something you don't like, try a different game.
Nah, I'll put in my 5 hours. I'm going to put a minimum of 5 hours into every one of these games I pick. Because I feel 5 hours is the good number of whether or not you can grasp the concept of it. Exactly. Like, you know, I find a lot of these games you play the first couple hours and sometimes it gets really slow. But then once you get past the tutorial and you kind of get into the mechanics, it picks up and you can really enjoy a game.
Not only that, but like a lot of games, the tutorial tends to play way differently than the actual game.
Well, definitely. Definitely.
So, I mean, you really don't get a handle on what's going on in the tutorial.
100%. So are there any games that, like, let's say in the next week or two that you're really looking forward to that are coming out? I got one.
I mean, it's probably one that we already covered last week.
What, Dead Space?
No. Oh, yeah. Dead Space. So, I mean, that's pretty much the only one that I know is coming out.
Yeah, that's the only one on my radar.
That's on my radar. I really don't really have anything else. I mean, I'm going to search Game Pass and see and some of the free games on Steam and see what I can come up with. I did that this morning. It was quite the rest.
Yeah, well, you know.
There's a few games on there that I cannot mention on here.
Yeah, Steam games can be a little risque.
So, yeah, I'm going to go on there and maybe find well-rated games on there and see what I can come up
with. Okay.
And, you know, I'll get the other game going and see how we go from there.
Yeah, no.
And so, we'll report next week on it, and we'll go from there.
So my week's going to consist of, I had Dead Space pre-ordered, and I said to myself, you know what? I had pre-ordered Callisto Protocol, and I'm about halfway through it. I didn't beat it, but already it's already on sale.
Where are you?
Halfway through it.
That doesn't help me.
I haven't played in a week and a half. I got maybe 7 hours.
What was the last major thing that happened that you remember?
Don't remember, which is exactly why I can't finish games.
Did you sneak past the robot guard yet?
Yes.
Okay, so you're probably about halfway,
right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, so that's about a third through.
A third through. Okay. Right. So I figured Dead Space is going to go on sale, so I'm going to hold off on playing it on release because now that games are $70, it's hard to justify buying them brand new. So if the baby is not teething this week, my plans are to play Elden Ring, because I want to get past the first open field, which I got myself slaughtered three times playing the first time. Saints Row on the PS5, because everyone is review bashing this, saying it's not as good as the old Saints Row. So I want to really see if it's the case or if it's just these people can't get out of the past and say, look, it's a different game.
Kind of similar to what we're going through with the shows and stuff where people are complaining about how
it doesn't
too closely kind of deal.
Yeah, definitely. Like, you know. And then lastly, probably going to play another one of these games that everyone keeps saying is horrible, but I just don't feel that it can be. Biomutant. I'm going to start Biomutant. I got it for the PS5. It was really cheap because everyone like said it's a horrible game. So when everyone says it's a horrible game, the price drops dramatically. And
that's how you find some gems.
Yep, exactly. And I think that, I think it's a great game. Do I think it's going to be like a 9 or a 10? Heck no. But I guarantee you it's a middle of the road 7, 7.5. And I'm going to start doing that. I think I'm going to start playing these badly reviewed games and reporting back if they're really bad. Because why not?
I hate the whole review bombing culture. Like it drives me nuts.
It's so bad. Wait till you see what's gonna get review bombed. There's something that keeps saying that it's gonna get. Oh, Harry Potter is gonna get review bombed.
Yeah, but
and I'm not gonna get into all the politics around that.
Yeah, we're not gonna get into the reasons why, but it's still. If you don't want to play the game, don't play the game. Keep your opinion to yourself. Yep. Just don't play the game.
That's right. You know, and. You know, but those are the games I plan on playing. And if the baby is teething, then you guys will have the luxury of hearing about more Vampire Survivors.
Yeah.
More Rogue Legacy. You know. Those, and I might look for... I think I'm going to do the mystery Steam keys on Fanatical and see if I get lucky.
Yeah, I almost turned on Borderlands 2 last night, but unfortunately Steam...
Oh. All right, well, with that... And that's it. So please like and subscribe to the podcast and leave a comment. Follow us on Twitter at Very Average Gaming and on YouTube, Very Average Gaming. Join our Discord, again, Very Average Gaming, or visit our website at veryaveragegaming.com. I'm Will, that's Joe, and just like you, we're average too.